your motivation.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hip hop.
Hip hop.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to the Ministry of Motivation. You're listening to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe. This program will not be about the typical church-going people or the people who have stopped going to church. When you talk about religion or politics, it usually put a division line between the people. I'm just an ordinary guy that want to help people with the aid of the Bible to have a more balanced life. This show is about ordinary people and ordinary pain, not the kind you see on television, like the wives of Atlanta or basketball wives. I'm trying not to put a division line among the people, but to unite all people. I just want you to know that I walk this path with you, not as a leader, and a friend. And the topic of the show is you have to break yourself. And the scripture that we will come from is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25. After these breaks, we'll be right back with the Ministry of Motivation. Listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe.
Go ahead and put your quarter in and pick a can. Forget the devil, he coming, I'ma kick the can. Yeah, I consider myself a man of God. Matter of fact, I'm praying to the only God. God Almighty, I look into the skies. I am a superstar, I be up in the sky. Plus I realize nothing in this world can ever change my feeling about you, Lord. And then I know something is changing in my life, but hey, I'ma give you my world. Tripping off these people that be backsliding. Matter of fact, I'm in the back with the Lord riding. Yeah, chilling in the backseat. But if you serve the Lord, guess what? There's no backseat.
What you want? What you want?
Anything you're going through. Matter of fact, rip it open and go through. Look in the mirror, guess what you see? It's you. Probably like me, full of dead man's bone. But guess what? My dead man's gone. And I'm filled with the spirit. Left foot, right foot. Going wrong when you ain't on the right foot. I'm doing right, look. You doing right too. Be Christ-like, yeah, just like you. And that's what it is. That's what it be. Crazy for Christ, yeah, to feel me. But I'm still iller, God got me high. No angel wings, but I'm still fly. Looking good when I'm walking through. You see the Christ in me, I see the Christ in you.
Look. What you want?
Welcome back to the Ministry of Motivation. You're listening to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe. You just got through hearing the song Crazy for Christ and Crazy for You. And the topic of the show is you have to break yourself. And the scripture that we will come from is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25. But at this moment, I would like to open up with a prayer. God, I want to give you the glory for awakening me up this morning to have the strength to go on the battlefield of life, able me to find the ones that need some encouragement just to get to the next level so that they can receive your blessing you have for them. You know, send your angels to join me in this battle today. In your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said, the title of the show is You Have to Break Yourself. And the scripture that we will come from is Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24 and 25. And the scripture read, verse 24. Do not have companionship with anyone given to anger and with a man having fits of rage. You must not enter in. 25, that you may not get familiar with his path and certainly take a snare for your soul. I was on Facebook and strolling through my Facebook page. I ran across this post that Tyler Perry posted. It's a tribute to the Houston family, a slideshow of Bobby Christie and Whitney Houston, her mother. And the slideshow consists of a picture of Bobby Christina as a baby, how different pictures show the love what her and Whitney shared together. At different stage of time, revealing how we have a short walk to the cradle, to the grave. I know because this truth that I speak is uncomfortable, but it is not done out of hate. I love and I want to see things better, not just for my people, but all people. See, I came to realize in this world, you have to break yourself from believing you can't go on without a person's love. Our real wealth is in your kids. It's what you leave in your kids. It's not what you leave for your kids. And Satan has came between the truth and the messenger. It's the touch can't bear not to feel. Because it is the only thing they have to manifest realness. See, without the touch, there's no hope, only hopelessness. So we must learn to look inside where the pain imprisonment your potential. See, love know you must be free. See, it's a terrible thing to live without love. The conscience will die. I pray Bobby Christina finally found peace in her mother's bosom, where she longed to feel again, confidence. We must have a journey for understanding. Until we break ourselves, the negative choices affect and weakens our confidence on the approach of life to make good choices. We must learn to adjust our behavior. See, violence begins with lies because you violated the mind when you tell a lie. When you don't feel good about you, you will continue to do things that maintain that status of not feeling good in life or make a mess in life. You will meet up with many things that push you into dark and scary places, face first. See, the spirit is always trying to see just how much you will take and how much you can do under as many circumstances as possible. We all have a basic idea of what to do and what not to do. See, the process of life is ever unfolding, guiding you, pushing you. preparing you for the next part of the process. Life often takes a twist or make a turn that is frightening or confusing. The only way we can know for sure is to be willing to walk through every part of the process. I discover when God have a plan for you in life, that doesn't mean wait on it. That means work on it. You have to be at the destination where God have blessings at. So you must arrive and be in place to receive what belongs to you. If not, you missed your calling. So we must refuse to have regrets in our life, because living with guilt is worse than death. See, the mind is a vicious cycle. Weakness is a choice. Stop trying to run away from yourself, because you cannot. You must work on yourself. Most of your pain is self-chosen. See, knowing your purpose, kill that word but. But is a dream killer. But is an argument for your limitation and an excuse to keep your argument. Master your skill of handling life obstacles that robbing you from your joy. Procrastinating is still a time. You don't always get what you wish for, but you always get what you work for. So you must have two hearts, one for the old you and one for the new you. See, getting unstuck make the mark how you have the power to change your life. See, by unleashing your pain, you recognize what was put in you and not what was did to you. The most challenging part of the process is that you will have to walk in the depths of all the pain. You know, keep on confronting difficulties. See, if you say he provoked me or he made me lose my temper, if so, your very word suggests that others are holding the remote control to your emotions. So admit to yourself, I allowed myself to be provoked. And acknowledge to yourself, I chose to overreact. And once you accept responsibility for your action, you will be better able to change them. Sensible people will see trouble coming and avoid it. But an unthinking person will walk right into it and regret it later. So we must stop people from forcing us to disobey our country. Each of us must face a moment in our life called the breakdown moment. This is the time when you must eyeball to eyeball with the very thing you have tried desperately to avoid. Your excuse failed because that is what life is demanding of you. Please be advised that there will be situations where you do and give your best and your all with the best intention. What you get in return is crap. What did I do wrong? That kind of doubt eats away at your heart, mind, and spirit. The kind that makes you feel stupid and valueless and worthless. See, when you are the light, plain about the darkness, only thing you can do is shine. Just because darkness does not mean you are not doing what you are supposed to do. Never lie what you are looking at to determine what you believe. And never lie what you can see with your eyes to lure you into the belief that there is nothing more. Always allow your spirit to take you beneath the surface. It is there that you will see and know the truth. Take the fear out of guilt away from your mind. And because sometimes we don't make something work at that time, that don't mean you fail. Because you didn't produce what you want at that moment. Push it until you get your result. You must have patience and the will to keep going. See, every day is a new day you have to say to yourself, I can enter the race to life and I can be a winner in life. I heard somebody the other day say they was tired of trying. I said in my mind, I'm tired of not trying. The strong will always oppress the weak, and the rich will always exploit the poor. No matter how strong they are, there's a limit to what they can do. We as disadvantaged people are trapped in an unfair world. injustice dominate our life and dictate, it will always be this way. But what you do with that dictatorship is in your control. You know, over a period of time, discipline closes the deep gap in your knowledge. So many people choose weakness to get out of a task that God has for us. That's why we don't achieve our goals. And that's why you have to break yourself. After these breaks, we'll be right back with the Ministry of Motivation. You listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe.
Jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus.
Let me see you get out your seat and move your feet, yes, to the beat, come on.
Jump for Jesus.
Let me see you get out your seat and move your feet.
Everybody know, everybody know, everybody know, everybody know.
Let me see you get out your seat and move your feet, yes, to the beat, come on.
Show was you have to break yourself. If there's anybody out there on the line that would like to expound about something they heard about the show or would like to add on to this show, your line is open. State your name and where you're calling in.
Yeah, this is Dr. Ridgely calling in from Terrell County.
How you doing, Dr. Ridgely?
I'm fine, sir. And I met you a few days ago in Dawson, and you said that you had some questions you wanted to ask me about the Muslim program, what the Muslims believe and what the Muslims want on the back of the Santa Claus newspaper.
Yeah, that was one particular question that I wanted to ask, because I think a lot of times we as the people get misunderstanding about the passion what the Muslims have in expressing themselves for the peoples, and they get it mixed up with hate or hatred, and that's what the media try to display out here to us. And so I just wanted to give the Muslim a chance to expound on some of those qualities that they have. And one of the questions that I would like to ask is, what's after the 10-10-15 March, the expectation of the people, what Minister Farrakhan want to continue for the ones that follow him after that march?
Well, it's the first thing that what the Muslims want on the inside back of our newspaper. It's called freedom, justice, and equality. We want a full and complete freedom. And number two, we want justice, equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed, class, or color. So the title of the weekend is Justice or Else. We all know we've been at war with people who call themselves white for over 500 years. The war started when they came to Africa and brought us out of Africa and made us slaves. And then after chattel slavery was over, we had a brief moment of freedom where we were able to buy land and set up businesses and even run for office. And then they closed that out with a 30 or 40 years of lynching, where they lynched a black man or woman once every 3 days and broadcast it all over the country. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that someone came in 1930 to give us freedom, justice, and equality, and to defend us against our enemies. And that one who came was a man named Master Farad Muhammad. And so we are not waiting for the return of Jesus the Messiah, because we believe he returned in 1930. And we are in the process of working to build God's kingdom on earth, freedom, justice, and equality for everyone. This is why I'm out on the farm trying to grow healthy food, because we know that the food that's being given to us is poison. So we're going to Washington to give this country another chance to do the right thing. Mr. Farrakhan has specifically said that we need land, and he's following in the footsteps of Martin Luther King and his Poor People's Campaign, where he was going to Washington in 1968 to demand substantial money, the paycheck, and land. And of course, he was gunned down after he gave this famous speech in Memphis, Tennessee, where he admonished us not to participate in any violent activity against our enemies, but to utilize our economic power and withdraw our support from those who persecute us. So Mr. Farrakhan, in that light, has admonished us that we must pool our resources together, as Martin Luther King asked us to do. Of course, we only know him as I Have a Dream. That was 63. But in 68, he was fully awake, and they didn't kill him because he had a dream. They killed him because he had a plan, and that plan was economic empowerment to the poor, black and white, of this country and pulling out of Vietnam. And so they assassinated him, and still once a year they bring up I Have a Dream because they want us who love him to stay in the dream world and not wake up to the real world that he woke up to and actually was leading us out of until they assassinated him. So Minister Farrakhan is leading us in this direction of not being violent to achieve our goals, but working together in unity as black people to achieve our goals as other people have come to America and done. Yet it somehow it seems that for black people to work together to do for themselves, to have economic independence, is somehow evil and wrong when everybody else comes to America just to do that. You have your Chinatowns, you have your Polish towns, you have these right in the middle of other cities. But when we as black people say we need to get together, then they pull out some type of code, black code, that five black men together is a gang. So, as a matter of fact, hip-hop was a development coming out of New York from brothers and sisters who heard the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, many of them called the Five Percenters, and they put that those teachings to rhythm and to rap to be a social commentary on the ghetto. And then later on in the late 70s and the early 80s, the enemies of black people twisted that into gangster rap. And this whole funk type of thing. So now we got positive hip-hop coming back to bring the real hip-hop, which is a culture of independence, a culture of strength, but a culture of doing the right thing, and not a culture of beating up on our women, nor robbing or selling drugs. So I know that was a long answer, but basically we want land and we want justice. And if the government won't give us land, then we just put our money together under the Muhammad Economic Blueprint, and we will buy the land. As you know, all around South Georgia, many of these old white farms are going out of business, and their children are not taking it up, and so the land is available. All we have to do is put our money together, and we can buy a piece of America.
Okay. I definitely appreciate that enlightenment that you just gave us, and I would say it's a mental resurrection. What we need as a people to unite to get further, and like I say, that to own a piece of land mean a lot, and you brought out a lot of great points, and especially about the hip hop culture and it's trying to come back, and I really enjoyed that comment which you made to enlighten us about what the culture about hip hop. Originally was meant to be. Like I say, you brought out a lot of great points. You know, for me, myself, personally, I always find it's very entertaining for me and very educated. I learn something each time that I research something about the Muslim. They're very knowledgeable. They teach us about a lot of things about our history and social studies, science, and everything. About our roots and let us know what the government is trying to do. And one thing that I noticed that Louis Farrakhan do, he decodes and break things down for us peoples in society and in the poverty eras. To be able to understand what he's talking about, he break it down so simple. So that we can get a better picture of just not what's going on in the hood, but what's going on in the world. And that's one big thing that I really love about Muslim myself. And I just want to thank you for sharing your knowledge and enlightenment and shedding a light on a lot of myths what the media have sucked a lot of people in to believe that not to believe the unity what Islam stands for. They try to misguide people, but you broke down a lot of great points to let us see that it's not hatred that the organization have is love for all people, all creed of people. And I just want to thank you for coming on and participating with that.
Well, thank you for having me on. And I just want to let the people know, if they really want to find out what's going on, to get the go to NOI.org, NOI.org, that's the Nation of Islam's website. And also, please come to Washington, D.C., 10-10-15, October 10th, 2015, to the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March, which was, you know, and it's in Washington, D.C. And, you know, 20 years ago, the Million Man March brought almost 2 billion men together in a day of brotherhood, where there was not only was there no violence on the mall, where the 2 million men were packed together like sardines, there was no arrests, there was no robberies in the city of Washington, D.C. that day. So this is the type of atmosphere that the Nation of Islam brings to an area. As a matter of fact, people may not know this, but through our Dope Busters program in the early 90s, we were able to clean up drug-infested projects, Mayfair Manor, in particular in Washington, D.C., and in other places. But it was the Jews who got the government to block the money that was going to the security companies that were not owned by the Nation of Islam, but was owned by members of the Nation of Islam, who practiced removal of drugs and weapons without those members of the Nation of Islam, who were security people, without them having weapons themselves and without them using weapons to get the weapons and the drugs out of those communities. But instead of continuing those projects, they took those members, the Nation of Islam security contracts, away. And this was in the 90s, early 90s. And now we look at the drug infested and the murder, black on black crime. And we know that most of those crimes are either over money, drugs, or women. And they're all tied together. And the Nation of Islam proved that they could remove the drugs and the weapons out of the hood. But the government, promoted by people from the Jewish community, did not want the Nation of Islam to receive, or the members of the Nation of Islam to receive, any benefits from security. In other words, they wanted us out, but yet they brought nothing in that can replace that, and now we have this death and destruction, and the destruction of families in the black communities all across America. And if people will take the time and study, they will find that it was all purposeful, done by the government, the agents of the government. So right now, the black man can hardly find a job, and they give the jobs to the black women. Some of them have two jobs, trying to live a lifestyle they can't afford, and not give the black man one job. All of this is what's called social engineering by the same people 500 years ago who brought us into slavery, and do not, have not shown that they intend to allow us to be free, independent, and equal people in America. Therefore, we must come together and do for ourselves, not take it from anybody else, but doing what every other people have come to America to do, that is to work together, to put the resources together, to develop their own communities, their own institutions, their own businesses, and then do trade and commerce with the other members of America and other members across the world. So we are determined to do what is natural to the human being, and that is to work together, to love one another, to do for self, and to build a type of community that other people all over the world can learn from and appreciate. We, even though we have differences, even in the Muslim communities, we are not shooting and killing one another and blowing up each other's mosques like they're doing in the Middle East. We are Muslims, but we have a strong relationship with Christians. As a matter of fact, over 90% of the people who came to the Million Man March in 1995 said they were Christians, not Muslims. So we have proven that we can have a working relationship in love and unity with those who believe like us and those that don't believe like us. As long as we all believe in doing right and following the principles that Jesus left for all of us to study and to take up in our lives and to activate, not just sing about, but activate our everyday life. So thank you very much for having me on. If there's any questions to any of your callers or want to ask me, that's fine. If not, that's fine too. I just thank you for the opportunity. And may God bless you with your work in breaking the old habits that we have found ourselves in and producing new habits and new ways of thinking so that we can move out of death into life.
Okay, let me is there anybody out there that's on the line that would like to ask Dr. Ridgely a question? State your name and where you're calling in from, or if there's anything that you would like to add on to the conversation. Your line is open. Hello? Hello?
No, it's still just me.
Are you okay then? Well, then, like you said, I just would like to say that you made a great point because over the last year or two, I've been following Minister Louis Farrakhan and with his teaching. And you brought out a great point about Christians that we're working together, that y'all working together to activate a great relationship with each other. And that's one thing that I noticed that had been taking place with the organization. And that's what made me want to reach out to communicate and give let the voice be heard so that people can understand what's really the Islamist organization is really about. It's about unity and trying to help all people. And that's one thing that I noticed about the Muslim that is growing. And that was like I said, I've been following a lot lately, trying not to listen to the media display what they want you to believe, because you know they hypnotize people. They make people believe what they want to believe through the media, and they control that. But for myself, I start researching and learning. And for so long, I know you may not remember this. Maybe about 20 years ago, you was in Shelburne. You was delivering paper. I talked to you once before. That's the first time I ever encountered you. And after that day that I encountered you, you said some things that really grabbed my attention. And like I say, and I had met you before after then, and I just wanted to reach back out and to give myself a chance to learn more and get on-hand knowledge by speaking to one of the representatives of the Muslims. And I just want to say I learned a lot. It teaches about the history. I found that the oldest bone was found was a the skeleton was a Lucy was a woman's
right.
Skeleton in Africa.
Right.
And there was a lot of great things that I found out through listening to.
Well, you know, brother, you know the we have at our very fingertips access to so much information through the internet, and we have these smartphones. But we fill our minds with foolishness. Even with the information available, we don't search out the information with go to Google and put in a decent question to find out something. We still use it to dig up garbage, you know, to dealing with people's personal lives and the filth and the dirt and the troubles that they're into. Look up jokes. We use this instrument, which could enlighten us, because everything is right there at your fingertips. I mean, the message to the black man in this fullness is there. And then we have on YouTube the 58-week series of The Time and What Must Be Done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which really goes into every aspect you might want to know about not only the Nation of Islam and our history, but the history of the world, where how it's gotten to where it's at and where we're at now and where we're headed to if we don't make a change. All of us make a change. So it's right there at our fingertips. But it's amazing the information that's available, but yet we don't access that information. And I've been puzzled by why, with all this information, people don't, like you are doing, study. And the only thing I can come up with is that if you are afraid to make a change, if you're afraid to break old habits, if you're afraid to break with the past, or if you're just too lazy to move, then you don't want to know anything, because that knowledge will be that motivation that will cause you to move and to change. But if you're too afraid to change or too lazy to change, or you're stuck in your ways to the point that you don't want to change, then you don't want any information that might call to change. Because truth will set you free from all those negative things that lock you down, but you got to have some courage and a will to work to break those bonds. So many people hide from the truth because they don't intend to change. So I thank you, brother, and other brothers and sisters like you that we're finding, especially since what happened in Ferguson and this myth of this, post-racial America, that myth has been busted. And now young people want to know, you know, why is these white cops are killing us? Why do they hate us? And so now we're beginning to do that study on our own now. And in 10, 10, 15, we're going to carry people further into that to understand that these police that are fighting and beating up on us, they're slaves too. But because they're white, they think that they're in power, but they're slaves too. And Mr. Farrakhan is going to show these white people in America how they're just slaves too, and they need to stop fighting with the black slaves and start working with the black slaves so we all can be free.
Like I say, most thing that I always walk away with knowledge about self-respect and to learn about self. I think that's the biggest part of wrong with the generation now, that they don't want to learn about self. And I think that's where they stuck at. Once they begin to learn about their history and really dig down into it, find out about self, that will be the beginning point of the journey for the new generation. And I think that's the biggest downfall that they have. Deception is where they're at right now with their life. You see them on the computer, on the phone, always typing in things, and not, just like you mentioned earlier, really did not search for better knowledge, you know, to enhance themselves. But, you know, just, you know, it's a privilege for me just to speak with you on some of these topics, because, you know, like I said, I've been learning and studying, and I learned a lot from this organization about, especially about politics and policies and different things that are taking place, and how so educated all the members are. Everything is self-taught. I mean, not self-taught, but you have your own school, your own teachers. I was reading in the newspaper that y'all wanted to hire some teachers or something to help teach at y'all school.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they have. We're looking for teachers at the MUI in Chicago, the Muhammad University of Islam. Yeah, they're looking for teachers in Chicago, and they have Muhammad University of Islam's all across the country, as well as we do a lot of homeschooling. As a matter of fact, it was Honorable Elijah Muhammad who, in fact, his group were put in jail in the 1930s for taking their children out of public school and doing their own schooling, because we believe that once you've been the one who didn't treat you right, it's not going to teach you right. And the purpose of the school system is not to make you into an independent being, but to mold you into something that somebody can use. And so we have our Muhammad University of Islam's educational system all across the country to re-educate our children and to get them before they can be miseducated. The reason we don't know our history is because they don't teach the truth in school. I mean, I have a PhD, so I've been all the way through the system, okay? And I've seen the game and how they distort the truth and how they keep your mind so focused on the great works of white people and lie as to where the white folks learned civilization. Here we have over in Africa the Sphinx and the Great Pyramids, and it's in Africa. And when I went to the Smithsonian Institute to visit, I think it was 1988, they had a map of in the African Museum, and that map had cut out Egypt, and it put Egypt into Asia, and had the artifacts from Egypt, the archaeological artifacts from Egypt, instead of in the African Museum, had it in the Asian Museum. So how is a child going to the Smithsonian Institute going to reconcile truth with falsehood when they can look at this map and see that they had carved out Egypt out of Africa and took it across the Red Sea and across the Mediterranean Sea and stuck it with Asia? See, this is the depth of the wickedness of this world, that they would take that which is obvious and then lie about it and then expect you to accept it as true. And so when people say that black people have never contributed anything to civilization, and yet they know civilization started in Egypt, so to keep the lie going, they will take Egypt and all them black folks in Egypt and stick them in Asia and try to claim that Egypt was not an African civilization. So these are the things that we have learned by being members of the Nation of Islam. And it's not that other folks can't learn it, but you got to have a certain amount of guts to stand up in the classroom, like I have done in my years, and just and confront the teachers when they're telling a bold-faced lie. And so we need to take our children out of this mental killing field where if you destroy the mind, the behind will follow. So if you have destroyed the confidence, whereas you make the people who have dark skins have no confidence in themselves, then, of course, you automatically are going to make them depressed, and you're going to make them dislike themselves, and therefore they're going to take this dislike out on those who they have around them, who they can take it out on, and that is other black people, because they know, everybody knows, if you attack a white person, they're going to track you down. But if you attack a black person, as they did with the mayor in Dawson, Georgia, I don't think they found the shooters yet. This has been over a year.
That was crazy.
But I guarantee you, if he was a white mayor, they would have found him that night.
This is real. Yeah, it's real.
So we have this devalued sense of self by being around people who devalue us. So it's time now that we get busy, because there's no more jobs in America, not even for the next generation of white people. So we have to stop looking at the white people to give us food, clothes, and shelter, and start developing businesses for ourselves that we can hire black people as well as white people. When I was going to school, I'm an undergraduate, and I'm going to get off the air here, but I was going to school, my undergraduate in North Carolina A&T. The teacher who was teaching accounting, my degree was agricultural economics, and in that I had a lot of economics and accounting classes, and he would always try to motivate us by saying, well, this was back in 1973, 74, Well, if you would do good in this course, in accounting and these other courses, you can come out of college and get a job making $30,000 a year or more. And he kept saying that. And so one day I just raised my hand. I said, sir, respectfully, can you teach me what that man knows that can pay me $30,000 a year? Because I'm not interested in the $30,000. I'm interested in knowing what that man knows that can pay somebody $30,000 a year. Now, sir, if you can't teach me that, then teach me what you know. But don't try to motivate me on those $30,000. Now, this is what I said when I was like 21, 22 years old in college, because I was at that time had already been awoken by the teachers of Elijah Muhammad. And I didn't go to school to learn how to get a job. I want to know how I can make jobs. And this has been my advocation and what I'm doing now in terms of running a farm and trying to set up some value-added processing here at Muhammad Farms and sending food all over the country, providing some job opportunities for others, not just a job for myself. And this is what Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, through the Muhammad Economic Blueprint, he wants us to start thinking big and stop thinking small. Don't think about a job. Think about an industry that you want to set up to hire other folks and to give people jobs. So I just had to bring that up. As you know, you asked me the wrong or right question. I didn't tell them where I'm going with it. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to express some of the things that I found out in my 64 years of sojourning here in America.
Is there anybody out there on the line who would like to add on to something that Dr. Wrigley said? Your line is open. State your name, where you call in from.
Yeah, this is Bamrael. I'm one of the DJs I called in earlier. I would like to say something. I totally agree. The nation's really dumbing down themselves. I'm out here in Fort Worth, Texas. I see it every day. You know, people just out here just doing the wrong thing for just a little bit of anything. You know, and it's not right. And the history about what you was talking about. You know, I believe in history. You know, the Moors and the Els. You know, Bamrael. That's my name. That's what we. You know, that's what we carry on. You know, what we carry on from our history with and. You know, the Olmecs and from then, you know, from the stones they found all over the place, you know, it's all kind of stuff that established what, you know, the brother of the Negroid did for this world. It's just that, you know, people need to start establishing that and putting that in writing again, and, you know, and start, you know, giving the royalties back, you know, where, you know, to where it belongs, you know. And as a young man, I'm sitting here I'm just not going to be a part of the dumbed down system. You know, this, you know, that's ridiculous. And if people don't want to read and come up on their knowledge, because that's the only way you're going to, you know, see anything. People don't want to read. The school nation's reading rate is lower than what everybody's saying it is. You know, and that's not right at all. If you can't read, then what are you gonna do? That's the way the man's destruction right there.
Yeah.
And a man is on his way to that. So I totally agree. We should bring this nation up. That's why I was calling in. Y'all can check me out on Facebook and on SoundCloud. You know, I say some inspiring words myself. You know, I'm all about organic and natural and about real stuff. So, you know, that's all I'd say.
Well, that was well taken. You enlightened us again to be a young man and yourself express how you feel about certain things, and I see that you're on a certain level. Also, we have a show that come on Monday and Tuesday, we more into about the music industry, you know, and promotion and stuff like that. But this segment here is on the Sunday, the Ministry of Motivation is here to is to address the peoples and some things they need to do to better themselves and try to get to the next level in life and educate peoples enough. And the thing is that, and like you say, you know, as long as I think, as long as you learn something about life, educate yourself on life yourself, and you can go a long way. There's a lot of people that dropped out of school. I'm not recommending drop out of school, but there's self-made millionaires that didn't finish school, but they educated themselves. They studied. They learned things. And you're going to have to do that to keep up with society today, because you just about got to run in place just to walk, because everything moving so fast. And the biggest thing is what with the younger generation that gets next to me is that they don't want to find out about self-respect. And like I say, you say some encouraging words with your lyrics, and I can see that in you. And I just want to notify you that, you know, we also do call in Monday, too, at the same time, at the same number. We have more topics, more into music also. I just want to run that by you about that, young man.
Yeah, appreciate that, and thank you. I was inspired by what you said. That's the only reason why I called in.
Well, man, I'm glad that you did. You know, you're welcome to call in every Sunday at the same time. Like I said, I want to turn the show into about the people, because your breakdown can be somebody's breakthrough. Your knowledge can help somebody, and that's what it's all about, to educate people about life and the steps they need to go through or to begin on their journey in life to find about self. You know, like I say, man, you're welcome to call in, and I appreciate the call. And like I say, that's make me grow also. I'm in a learning process myself. I'm not trying to walk this pathway with you as a leader, but as a friend and a companion. Because, you know, I'm in a learning process myself. So we help each other. We feed each other, man. That's what it's all about, is unity. And that's what Dr. Wrigley was talking about. Is there anybody else out there on the line that would like to have anything to say about the topic or add on to something they have experienced in life? Okay. Well then, I think that Dr. AT, is there anything you would like to say or add on to the show? Producer?
Hello?
Hello?
Were you talking to me?
You still there? Yeah, I mean, you can, you know, continue to talk and have something to say if you would like to say. You keep expounding. I was reaching out for my producer. See, would he like to have anything to add on to the topic?
Well, while y'all thinking about it, can I say something in terms of what the young brother just said?
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
You know, like I said, I'm an old man. I was in the middle of that whole period when we had integration and forced busing. I'm from North Carolina originally, and I went away to prep school in '60. Six up to New Hampshire, and my close friend, who we went to school together since we were in the first grade, he decided to stay in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and go to the integrated high school, Reynolds High. Reynolds High was, you know, the high school in Winston-Salem for white kids. And so when they started integration, they allowed a few blacks to come to Reynolds High School in that first year. And my friend, his name was Spurgeon, he told me that the first year that he was out there at Reynolds High, he was treated like everybody else, and the teachers continued to do their teaching. But the second year, when more blacks came to Reynolds High, the white teachers basically went on strike. They stayed in the classroom, but they refuse to teach anybody. So this whole dumbing down of America, I watched it, and I can attribute it to the inability or the unwillingness of white people to teach black people. And if they couldn't teach their own, they was just not going to teach nobody. And as a matter of fact, in 1974, when they started forced busing in Winston-Salem, I did a study, and I found that because of the building contracts and the other churches. And in that year, the white churches put up a million permits for $1 million of construction to build on schools to their churches. And so what they did, they took the students who could afford to go to private school, who could afford to go to the private church schools, they took them out of the public school system. And they took the best teachers out of the white public school system and put them in the church schools. We have one, you know one right here, brother, in Terrell County. What's the name of that high school, the white one? The private one?
The Eagle, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the Eagle, Terrell County Eagle, something.
Private so school. They have Terrell High, and then you have a white private school. Now, in St. Yeah. in Albany, you have a number, like Sherwood Academy, you have a number of basically white private schools just so that they can keep us, their children away from our children, and they fund those very well. And so what happened was, and I warned my teachers in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and my guidance counselors, when I went away to prep school and saw what was going on, I said, you know, integration, you're going to lose everything in integration. You're going to lose your schools. You're going to lose your teachers, your principals. And you're going to be integrated with the working class, the lower working class of white people. You are not going to be integrated with the upper class of the rulers. So you're just going to go to white high school to wind up working at R.J. Reynolds just like you would if you had an old black school. And I remember at an old black school, we didn't have a situation where there were people dropping out, okay? If you didn't come to school, they're going to find you. And the punishment was in school. They take you downstairs and whip your behind. They didn't kick you out. But when they started integration, they could not have the black teachers using corporal punishment on the white children, so corporal punishment was removed, and the solution was expulsion. Now, once you expel the child onto the street, what's the child going to do? The parent's not home, the child's going to get into mischief, plus the child's going to fall behind, and that means the child's not going to make the grade. The child's not going to make the grade, he's not going to stay in school because there's other people that have gone in front of him. Now he's behind, and he's going to be laughed at, so he just stays out of school. And that was the major reason why we have so many of our young men and women who didn't finish high school was because of some altercation or situation in school that could have been solved in school, but instead of solving it in school, they kicked us out of school. So this has been a planned, structured social engineering system to remove black people from the educational system, even at the expense of the poor white people. So now America is truly dumb, but they did it to themselves.
That was some great enlightenment, and well needed. And like I say, and that's what we need. Some good straight up talk in our faces, so that we can begin to step into our greatness in life. And that's what we need to do, step into our greatness. And so we, and I just appreciate people like yourself to come here on the show and enlighten us. And like I say, you is welcome to come to the show. both of y'all. You're welcome to come to the show. We come on every Sunday. But I think now we have came to the top of the hour, about time we're going to end the show. And
y'all can hey.
And everything. But I like to end with a prayer. I always end the show with a prayer. God, I would like to come to you and say thank you for allowing us to get together and to talk to one another, to sit down and fellowship together and learn from each other. And this is what I want to give thanks for you, for being the God that you are, to bring us together. And this I pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all have a great night. And like I say, y'all have a blessed night. And tune in next Sunday at the same time, same place. Good night, everybody.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.